our special guest, actually, who we've been waiting for, Darren Beatty of Revolver News. Hello, my friend. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Hi. Great to be here.
So you've been very challenged the last couple of days. You have a newborn, I guess, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, whatever. Anyway, welcome to the show, bro. I am a big fan of Revolver News and what you guys are doing. I want to ask you a couple of things here real quick. With regard to January 6th, Tucker Carlson did an expose on January the 6th. Jonah Goldberg and Stephen Hayes, who I believe are the same person, I think they're the same person. They have resigned from Fox News because they are offended. They're anti-Trumpers. I'd like your thoughts on that. And the I thought it was a marvelous expose by Tucker with regard to January the 6th. What's up?
Well, yes. I mean, this is the cherry on top to the whole event. I actually have a history going back with Jonah Goldberg. I don't know if you're familiar with the famous political cartoonist Mr. Ben Garrison, but Ben Garrison produced a now very well known and indeed infamous cartoon of Jonah Goldberg really following his destiny according to his DNA and his capabilities, and that is Jonah Goldberg washing my feet. And it became a big viral sensation of this cartoon of Jonah Goldberg washing my feet, because I'm known, I call out mediocrities and what he is. I even coined a term specifically for him. I call him a cognitive peasant. He's a cognitive peasant, and he goes around shopping around like, oh, I'm this big intellectual. No, he's complete trash. He's weak. He's fat. He's a nothing. And so we have a history going back. So I found it just especially satisfying that he would be so triggered by this Tucker Carlson documentary that he decided to quit and devote his full time to washing my feet. So my feet are going to be cleaner than they've ever been before. So I'd like to thank Goldberg. And Hayes is actually not the same person as Jonah. Jonah's like Hayes plus maybe
really?
40 pounds. But Hayes himself is an idiot. He thinks he's been putting on so much pomade. I think it's rotted whatever few brain cells he has left. He's nothing. He's like Bill Kristol's little lap dog. He's a good little dog. He's always been a good dog. And he's behaving like a dog now. So they're total non-entities. I feel guilty for even giving them this amount of time. But it does give me pleasure that they're quitting on account of this documentary.
I got to tell you, Revolver Not News has become one of my favorites, and I enjoy your conversations with Steve Bannon, who I think it's just a cojones of effing steel. He is amazing. I used to kind of respect Jonah Goldberg a little bit. I kind of liked him. I wouldn't say I'd put him up there with Sebastian Gorka, but I kind of, and then I realized what a tool he is. I mean, what a tool he is.
Yeah.
What is so damn defensive about Tucker Carlson's January the 6th expose?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Yeah, well, you know, it's these types, these people who sort of, you know, make their living in this totally fake conservative ecosystem where really the price of admission is simply to be a mediocrity that doesn't rock any boats, because conservatism as an institution in the United States, as a professional apparatus in the United States, is simply set up to be a kind of reservation point or a halfway house for ineffective losers. And people like Jonah Goldberg play that part perfectly. And so he's really from central casting when it comes to what the system wants conservatives to be. And a narrative like that presented in Tucker Carlson's show, which I will say with a certain degree of pride, is the thesis is largely based on original reporting from Revolver News, and I'm featured fairly prominently in that story. It's a very real and a very dangerous and a very important thesis, and that is that the events of 1/6 were largely, in effect, a setup by the federal government, that the feds had infiltrators that they instigated, and that if you look at various patterns, including what happened in Michigan, which we can get into, all signs point to a level of federal involvement that called into question the entire narrative that's been shoved down our throats.
Darren, everything you're saying is misinformation and disinformation. What the hell are you doing?
Right.
Don't you realize that Joseph Stalin used the word disinformatia in 1923? Do you realize that everything, and listen, all these narratives, and this is one of the things that I find fascinating because you and I are on the same page with regard to Russian collusion, with regard to the COVID origins, with regard to the 2020 election, with regard to January the 6th. It's all been called disinformation. If CNN or ABC is actually saying that this guy who ran over all these people in Waukesha, they're saying that he was not an extremist at all. This is all disinformation. Don't you find that all of this is being tied together, my friend? Because I know you feel the same way that I have felt for at least 2 years about this.
Yes. I mean, disinformation is the new censorship predicate du jour.
Yes.
Before we had, you know, racist, white supremacist, and so forth, that was very effective in shutting down any honest and much needed conversation about immigration and crime and so forth. Now they've expanded it, so any question of any kind of official, regime-approved narrative is a conspiracy theory and so forth. But now they've really seized upon this particular word, disinformation. And that word actually does a lot, because disinformation is a term of art that comes from the intelligence community that refers to the types of psychological operations that different countries would conduct against each other.
Yes.
And so it's no accident that the prevalent use of disinformation to shut down conversation domestically comes together with the weaponization of the national security state politically and domestically against a patriotic American. So it's
I've got to take a break. Could you hang on through the break? You and I are so on the frickin' page. We are so on the same page. I want to get to this in a moment here. By the way, dissent is not disinformation. That's one of my mantras, and Darren proves it right. We're going to take a break here. Darren Beatty on the Newsmax hotline. We will return to his conversation in just a moment. This is the Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is Rob Carson Show. Darren Beatty from Revolver.News, which has become a staple of what I look at on a daily basis, doing an amazing job that the mainstream media has not done. Darren, I want to ask you this, bro. January the 6th, and I've said from the get-go, I've said from day one, there was this self-flagellation by conservatives in the media. Oh, my God, the worst thing in the history of mankind, blah, 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 blah. And I've always said this was a Democrat Reichstag. It was meant to cover up the massive fraud of the 2020 election. And now we have new reports that you guys are reporting on the death of Roseanne Boyland, a person who was there. And she didn't even make it to the Capitol. She was essentially beaten to death by Capitol Police. And this is coming out. Her family has been denied an autopsy report on her death. What are your thoughts on this, bro?
I actually don't know too much about the details of this case. I probably don't know any more than you do. But whenever there's an issue that involves strange stuff involving autopsies, that's always a extreme red flag, I would say. And it wouldn't be the first strange issue regarding autopsies in the series of January 6th related.
Off the subject. I understand that I've caught you off guard on this. What about Ray Epps? Who's Ray Epps?
Well, Ray Epps is the figure of who features in the now viral videos. There's an individual with a Trump hat who, the day before January 6th, goes from crowd to crowd, telling them explicitly, we need to go into the Capitol. We need to go into the Capitol. And in many cases, the Trump supporters who have really no history of violence or vandalism in any of their hundreds of rallies immediately identify him as something off. They chant Fed even in multiple cases. But he remains dedicated. And it's not as though this is some one-off issue of some crazy the night before saying we need to go into the Capitol. No, this very same individual who's saying we need to go into the Capitol, rallying people, saying don't worry about BLM, don't worry about any of these other things. Focus on the mission, going into the Capitol. On January 6th, I like to say he's a veritable Where's Waldo figure. He's literally everywhere. He's all around the Capitol. He's redirecting the crowd. He's saying, go to the Capitol where our problems are. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, 2 seconds before the initial breach of the Capitol round, which occurred before Trump's speech was even over, before the main crowd went to the Capitol, 2 seconds before the breach, Ray Epps, the same guy who was there the evening before saying, let's go into the Capitol, Ray Epps whispers into somebody's ear, and that somebody, whose name is Ryan Samsel, bursts down the barrier, and the rest is history. Now, what's remarkable is that in the mountains of documentary and video evidence of January 6th and the preceding day, in the mountains, this is the only known recording of someone saying in advance, we need to go into the Capitol. Yeah. And if there's any figure who's played a key role in the orchestration of that initial breach, it would seem to be from this video, Mr. Ray Epps. And in fact, shortly after January 6th, the FBI itself seemed to reflect that fact by putting Ray Epps as one of the 20 first people that made it to the FBI's January 6th most wanted list.
Yeah.
But suspiciously, after the internet identified Ray Epps, the government had no interest in him. And in fact, the day after, Revolver News ran a piece on Oath Keeper founder and leader Stuart Rhodes, following up on our reporting that a lot of aspects of January 6th looked like an inside job from the government. The day after we ran that piece, the FBI quietly scrubbed Ray Epps' information entirely from its public database. And since then, we've heard nothing from him. Yep. And after Revolver News' bombshell report on Ray Epps, there were two citizen journalists who actually confronted Epps at his ranch.
Yep.
And Epps, of course, has nothing to say. He, in my opinion, looked guilty as hell. He goes back into his ranch. And yet the citizen journalists who dared to approach Ray Epps are visited by the FBI the next day. So the FBI is more interested in the people who want to uncover the truth about Ray Epps than they are about Ray Epps himself, when he appears to be a key orchestrator of the initial breach of the Capitol. So it's quite remarkable, and it's not the only story that's that suspicious when it comes to the federal government and January 6th.
Darren Beatty, Revolver.News, wonderful. I still want to get with you on the supposed $100 million worth of damage to the Capitol done, which is a freaking lie, because they opened the Capitol 2 hours later. And then also just the nonsense, that the 1,600 hours of video, it's all crap. Dude, just keep what you're doing. Keep what you're doing, Darren, because it's obvious to many like me, and has been for a long time, that we're being played. And thanks for just doing this. Thanks for just covering this, man. I appreciate it. We got to go. Thanks for joining me. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll have you on soon.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, bro. Make it a favorite on your browser. Revolver.News. Rob Carson Show. Stick around.